Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hey guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy for the Scooby Secrets spoiler section. I really need to cut down this title. This is too long. Welcome back to the spoiler section, guys. Today we're talking about season five,
they know.
Episode.
They signed up for
like, we've been here for forever. What are you
They're
guys
like,
talking
we
about?
We know.
Yeah.
This guy's an idiot. Wait, what's that? What's that SpongeBob? Leah, what is that? That SpongeBob quote?
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
That's what it is.
Leah coming in.
That's all I say for the whole episode.
Yeah, she's done. Wow, Leah, well done. And everyone's going to be like, Leah's the funniest person ever. Yeah,
I'm the character hire of the podcast.
Our triangle spoiler, you guys. The one where it was just
Is
you
it a fan
two?
Favorite?
It's
okay,
a fan
we were
favorite.
Set up. We were set up. I haven't watched it
yet. It
was
the notes, bro. It was the notes.
We were set up to look stupid.
No, no, no. Here's the thing, guys. You could have had your own notes.
Nah,
we did.
You could
have
had your own.
I did.
But then you made us feel like we had to do your notes.
Yeah,
and
you,
like,
you made sure.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my. Guys.
Yeah,
she's gaslighting you. She's gaslighting you and she's manipulating you. This is not real.
Stupid.
She was like, make sure you read off of this. Make sure you do this. And I was like, okay.
Sent it literally a second before we were supposed to record. And I'm like, what the
fuck
does this even mean?
Yeah, I didn't even have time to read
mean?
It over. And then I read it and she was like, sorry, I wrote that for me. I was like, yeah, I can freaking tell. Like, this is half a thought. I was set up to look stupid. I was set up to look so stupid. I'm going to get so many comments of people being like, this girl needs to take a communications class. She's such an idiot. It's like, you know, it wasn't my fault. I did my best.
And you know, we had so much fun. I don't think I've laughed the hardest, so I literally could not catch a breath. I had tears coming down my face, and Leah just kept going. And I was like, I can't go for it, Leah.
I held it down.
I got so many DMs from people who were like, that was the funniest thing ever. They were like, not, what was the comment they said? They said, someone said, not Leah reading your notes like a hostage letter.
Yeah, Sarah had a gun to my head, actually. Sorry, Sarah had a
I need you guys
BB
to know too.
To my head.
A Matt picture that Sarah's there, just muted. It's 10 times.
Yeah, Sarah was there the whole time, just dying laughing. That's what makes us look even more stupid.
No, no,
is the fact that it's like
worse.
She gave her approval.
If it was just Leah and I and Sarah wasn't there, I actually think we could have done it. But the fact that Sarah was there just staring at us, looking so judgy and muted, made it so much worse.
Sounds like you guys have insecurities
oh, here comes
that you
the
need to deal with.
Oh, oh. Do you guys
Not
hear
my
this?
Fault. If you guys feel unprepared and inferior,
oh.
Just doing my job.
I think I held it down
wow.
personally. So.
Do you guys hear that?
Yeah, it's me sticking up for myself, finally.
What do you mean sticking up for yourself? This is not
you guys
this
just
is not
went off
you sticking up
for like
yourself.
7 minutes. All that to say, you guys' triangle episode was a smash hit. You know, 5 out of 5 all around. And
would it have been a smash hit? If it
was
weren't for the situation?
Okay, then. All right, fine, Tabby. You did a good job. That, well,
thank you. That's all I want to hear.
Need a
My
little
parental
validation
issues.
There, Tabby.
Yeah, I need you to tell me I did a good job.
Like, please just tell me I did a good job.
People liked it, Mom. You may not
that
have gotten
episode
it, but
was
people
like the
liked
definition
it.
Of that meme like forever ago where it was like, yeah, you can copy my homework, just change it a little bit. Like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, literally.
It's like Harry Styles and like the press junket of Don't Worry, Darling. He's like,
it's
a
best
movie.
Thing about this
it feels
movie,
like a movie.
Is it's a, it feels like a movie. And Chris Pine over there
like
desperately
die.
Trying not to laugh. Anyway, all right. Let's talk about the spoilers for Intervention. I don't have like a ton to talk about. And I'm mostly just going to try and like we have the obvious that's happened, the Spike stuff. And I'm going to keep it pretty brief simply because I'm kind of sick of talking about him and we're going to be talking about him a lot in season 6. But we kind of like talked about it a little bit in the full episode, but the narrative that the show is pushing of Buffy shutting out Riley is very similar to the one where people say that Buffy and Spike's relationship was one of mutual abuse. And we're, because like this episode, they're like, you know, having Buffy tell Giles, oh my gosh, I think I'm not able to love. And I think I was the one that pushed Riley away, which the show keeps telling us this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where? I don't see this. And we're going to see a lot of that in season six, where like Buffy and Spike's very toxic relationship, where Spike is being very abusive to Buffy, taking advantage of the fact that she is emotionally and mentally in a really bad place. Because abuse is an imbalance of power and control. So even though Buffy is physically stronger, and a lot of people don't recognize this, even though Buffy is physically stronger, she's not well in season six. So therefore, Spike is the one with the control. There's an imbalance of power and control
there. She also confided in him before exactly. all that happened. So he yep. knew.
Yeah, he takes advantage of that. And so – but then we see a shift in the show where they start to kind of blame Buffy for a lot of that stuff. We have, you know, dead things where Spike gets all bruised and bloodied, and they're like, oh my gosh, look, Buffy's the one who's, you know, being the abuser. And then in the very end, and I think it was before that actually, where she tells Spike that I'm using you, which I take that to mean like, hey, I'm like, even though you're okay with being used in this situation, like it's not okay for me. But the show often takes it and is like, hey, Buffy's abusing Spike. And so we're kind of seeing snippets of that here, where we have the show painting Buffy one way in what they're telling us, but what they're showing us is the complete opposite. And so we're getting this clash of ideas in the show. And this is where it gets really hard for me to talk about the show, because I'm like, so used to saying, hey, this is what the text is saying, and this is metaphorically, but then I'm also going, that's not accurate in this case, and I'm actively disagreeing with the meta narrative of the show, and it just makes it really hard to discuss. So I kind of wanted to point that out, because we're seeing that a lot in this episode. Like from here on out, the show kind of just goes full hard down the Spike train. Spike and Buffy, I guess I should say, Spuffy train. And again, I'm not against the Buffy and Spike storyline in season six. And I think we talked about this last episode. I actually think it's really interesting. But there's an idea in the show that Buffy is the problem, and I don't agree with that. So I don't know. What did you guys think about the subtle shifts in the portrayal of Spike that started in this episode? Or did you not notice it? Did you think it was par for the course?
I don't think the shift is starting here. I think overall they have written Spike differently each season. And I think that I can justify it by saying, like, you know what? If you look at it as his intent, I think his intent stays very similar.
Sure.
But the way they write his behaviorals is not consistent. And I think that I didn't notice a specific shift in this episode. I think it's just every time they start to write a story, they're like, oh, let's have Spike here. Like, they kind of like – Spike is kind of their plot device, I guess. Like, yeah. Anything where they're like, I want to move the story along in a certain way, they're like, let's have Spike do it. Let's have Spike be the one. Like, and sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. And I think that in – the case of season five and a lot of season six, they really botch it. And I think, because I am not opposed to Buffy and Spike hooking up in season six, actually at all. I think it's a very realistic storyline that a lot of people go through, where you are so down on yourself that you allow yourself to be treated and to treat others, because I do think that things that she did to Spike was like a mutual abusive relationship in a lot of ways.
Well, okay, you have to be careful, because there's actually no such thing as mutual abuse. That's not a thing. And it's an actual, if you look it up, like that's something that people use, like abusers will use to gaslight someone that they are abusing.
I think that there was a lot of physical lines that were crossed on both sides. Wow. And this is only referring to while they were consensually hooking up. I'm sure. Not referring to anything else. I'm talking about when they were consensually hooking up. I think that Buffy did not treat Spike well, did not treat him kindly, and I don't think Spike treated her kindly. I think they both were using each other.
Buffy was up front the whole time, though. That's the thing.
Right. Let me finish my thought. I'm just saying, like, but I think that's very normal in the sense that when people go through a really, really rough time, and Buffy went through a really, really rough time, you stop loving yourself and you stop loving other people and you stop treating yourself and other people with care because you don't care. And I think that what's so beautiful is the fact that Buffy comes out of that and handles it in a way that is just insanely beautiful. She goes up to him and she apologizes for something, honestly, I don't think she needed to apologize because they both were using each other. She could have just very much just broken up with him and left. But she apologizes for using him because she acknowledged that she was taking out her hurt on him. And so I don't think Buffy was being deceitful. I don't think that she was lying to Spike and pretending that she was in love with him or anything like that. But I do think she was using him. She knew that he loved her and she was using him because it was making her feel better. And I think that's what she apologized for. All that being said, I struggle because I do think that there is a benefit to the relationship that happens in season 6 with Buffy and Spike. I think that it really strengthens Buffy's character in that sense where she grows and she realizes, like, doesn't matter what I'm going through, like, this is not the way to handle it. Like, this is only a detriment to myself. But it's hard because then you have the whole, you know, second half of the season where he takes advantage of her and
her boundaries.
And her boundaries, and just, you know, he's a vampire without a soul and does what a vampire without a soul would do. And then it's like, then he comes back in season 7 and, you know, there's just so much that was not fully healed about that with Buffy. And so I think that when I see stuff like this in season 5, which I know that I'm talking a lot, but when I see stuff like this in season 5, where it's just like he's rewarded for having remorse, I guess.
But not a change of behavior necessarily.
Well, it's not even just a change in behavior. It's like, let's say you are driving under the influence and you get in a car accident and you kill someone in the car accident and you have no remorse about it for, I don't know, a year. And then one day you break down and you're like, I'm a terrible person. You start recovery. You become clean, all this stuff. It's like, yes, of course, like, that's amazing. But also, like, people don't have to come up to you and be like, you're amazing for getting clean. You're amazing for doing these things. It's like, no, like, it's your responsibility. Like, it's your responsibility to not harm the people around you. It takes strength, and you can kind of applaud people's strength.
I think there's a difference between praise and being proud of somebody for getting out of addiction, because that is an incredibly hard thing to do.
Yeah. And I guess what I'm trying to say is more of like, it's frustrating that Buffy is constantly having to be the one to go and applaud Spike for not doing the crappy thing or for feeling remorse after doing the crappy thing. It's like, dude, like, okay, I'm glad that he's doing better, or I'm glad that he has remorse, but also so does everyone else. And Buffy shouldn't be the one to go up and applaud him. And I think that's what's frustrating about it. If that makes sense. If none of that makes sense, Sarah, feel free to
cut
it
does out. Make sense. And I think that works really well with this episode, especially you see that with Buffy rewarding Spike for doing something that was good and using herself as a reward.
My thing is season 6, when Buffy and Spike are hooking up and, you know, clearly Buffy's not like happy about it fully, he's not happy about it fully, whatever. My main thing is, like, I don't think Buffy is doing anything really that wrong. Like, the way the show paints it or tries to paint it is something so extreme to what is actually happening. Like, yeah. Yasha is not very nice to him. But, like, does she have to? Do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
yeah, he's the evil vampire.
Exactly. So, like, yeah. So when she...
I'm not saying that she's doing anything wrong. Like I said, I don't think she has anything to apologize for. However, I do think that she's... Well, actually, I'll take that
You
back.
Said she was
I
taking advantage of him.
I do think that she is doing something wrong in the sense that, like, she is taking advantage of him. She is manipulating him. She's doing all these things that it's like, okay, that's not kind. Like, you're leading him on. You're using him.
How is she leading him on, Leah?
Tabby, she goes to him and tells him to tell her that he loves her and is, like, constantly using him for affirmation, sleeping with him, doing all these things when she knows it means something to him.
No, I think you need to rewatch the show because that's not,
though.
But that's also not how it comes across. He knows full stop what she's doing and what's happening. He's actually the pursuer in a lot of that.
I'm aware. I'm just saying, like, when you know that someone is literally in love with you, and you're going and sleeping with them and you're telling them, like, tell me you love me and stuff, I think that's kind of leading them on and kind of using them. I think that's fine because Spike is Spike. And I think that he has a responsibility to be like, you know, her sleeping with me doesn't mean she loves me. But I also do think that there is double responsibility. There's responsibility on Spike and there's responsibility on Buffy. I think where it becomes gray is the fact that it's like, Spike is a soulless vampire who kills people. So it's like Buffy hurting his feelings. It does not really compare when you compare it to half the things that he has done. So that's where I come to the point of, like, does Buffy really need to apologize? Because, like, Spike is kind of a scumbag and, like, has killed people and, like, done all these things. So, like, does Buffy need to apologize for hurting his feelings? Like, does it matter? But I think it's more so about her as a human being. I think she needed to apologize.
Gotcha.
Because it was
so
about
I think what you're trying to
code.
Say is you're saying what you're trying to say is if this was like a normal relationship, that would be true, like Buffy needing to go and apologize and stuff. But the
yes.
context is important. But and
yes.
it's important for Buffy to do that because in her mind she was
it's
doing something bad and she
yes.
was violating
yes.
her own conscience. Gotcha.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Sarah, you put it so much better.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I just was like I don't know. Because that was my main thing for season six is just like the way that the show is painting it as, we know where Buffy's coming from, yet we're still catering to Spike's emotions the entire season six. It's like Buffy's taking advantage and poor Spike is so in love with her. And like he even has that conversation with Donnie. He's like, oh yeah, like Big Sis is treating me right up until this point. I'm like, you can leave at any point. She also tells you that she's like, you're convenient. She literally says that. Not very nice for her, but she was honest. Like, he knows that. And he goes in and he kind of has fun with it. Like, he has fun with the fact that, like, mm-hmm. he, like, knows that she's in a crappy situation. And he uses that to find it sexy. You know?
And you have – and in that moment where she tells him, hey, I'm using you, he says, you don't see me complaining, love. He knows. He's fully aware of where she's at.
But when he's
time.
In a grumpy mood, he weaponizes that against her.
Yep.
So it's like I just struggle. And I know what you're trying to come from now, Leah. But I just think, like, anytime people take a sympathetic tone with Spike, especially knowing that he's not a soulless person, I do agree with you that I think that to Buffy, it was affecting her way more because she's a human being and she, like, to her core has empathy. And so she knew by doing these things, it was doing a disservice to her as a person. She knew that wasn't who she was. And it was very much evident to where she was at mentally and emotionally. So I think it was important for her to kind of apologize to him when she breaks up with him and says, I'm sorry. And then I think everything after that point is just him not respecting her boundaries and everything. I'm not even going to tackle that. But the first half of the season, I think it's just – I get really frustrated with how the show is edited mm-hmm. with us knowing exactly where Buffy's at, Spike knowing where Buffy's at, everyone else knowing where Buffy's at. And yet we have it so that everyone's kind of like, oh, I kind of feel bad for the guy or like him being all down the dumps, you know?
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to say, like, I feel bad for Spike. I do not feel bad for Spike at all in season 7 or 6 or whatever. Sorry, no, I didn't mean to see season seven. I don't feel bad for second season six. Womp womp, I don't care. What I was trying to say is on Buffy's side, it's about Buffy's character. Mm-hmm. Buffy was doing stuff that was against her moral code.
Yeah, she knows she's therefore, doing stuff that she would not agree with.
That's why I think the apology is important. That's why I think that... I'm not explaining it well. Sorry, guys.
No, today was my day off. We get it now. Initially, we were like not sure, but we get it now.
I just wanted to clarify that in season six, it is not about Buffy hurting Spike's feelings. I don't give a frick if Spike's feelings are hurt. I really don't. He's killed people. I don't care. But it's about Buffy. It's about the fact, like, what did it mean to her to be doing that to another person, whether or not he had a soul or not, like someone that she has shown some sort of care for. Doesn't matter if it's love, doesn't matter if it's,
and seasons, you know, build whatever up that friendship. It exactly that.
It's someone that she's fought alongside. Therefore, what does it mean for her to be treating someone like that for her moral code? That's all I was trying to say.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's a take I've never really thought about fully. And I think that's going to be really important going into season six because context is important.
Even what she wears too when she goes and talks about him. We've talked about that in other spoiler sections. Like, she looks like Buffy. She's wearing lavender and a cute little blouse. Mm-hmm. And she comes and calls him by name and says, I'm sorry. And you could just tell that Buffy is coming back a little bit. Like, she's like making – she's like coming out of a little bit of the darkness, even just with her wardrobe and how she looks and everything. Like, you can definitely tell this is something she needed to do for herself. And also, like, for him, I do think she did, like, because Buffy is empathetic, so she did feel bad for him and felt guilty. I mean, she has the whole crying session with Tara where she is like, what's okay about that by taking advantage of him? Because she's empathetic. Like, she's going to sit there and she's going to feel bad about it, you know?
She also has a really high standard for herself, partially because she's been held to such a high standard by the people around her, but also because Buffy's just an amazing human being.
Yeah.
And kind of going into what we were talking about. So I saw a really interesting TikTok. I don't know if you guys have seen this guy's he looks like a professor or a teacher that teaches high school students or whatever. He goes into like in depth with Harry Potter stuff. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those TikToks. I think I have
seen one of his videos. Is it one of them talking about, like, he was asking why everyone was so into
Draco?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one I just saw. And I was going to bring that up because I thought that actually brought up a really, really interesting conversation about Spike, because he was talking about – I wish I wrote down his username. But he was talking about Draco and how only in fan fiction – do we really like see a lot of people simping over him and see a lot of like more desirable characteristics? Because it's non-canonical. Because there's not a lot of stuff in canon. Like, he was saying that J.K. Rowling leaves a lot of stuff loosely interpreted. So you can fill in those gaps for Draco, but it's not actually in the books. And he was saying that you see this very commonly with especially very broken and very bloodied and messy. I mean that metaphorically, but more like messy male characters. We like them like that because we want someone to fix. And he was saying redemption arcs are hugely popular because we like to be able to find someone that's and fix them. And that's the way we have the whole morally gray heroes and all that stuff that we all love. I mean,
or all these villains origin stories, and all of a sudden they're like not as evil as they thought they were going to be.
Right, exactly.
Like Cruella, even Wicked. And
he brought up the really interesting point that very rarely in media or literature do we see female characters. Do they allow female characters to get as messy as we allow our male characters to? Because there's a point that if female characters cross that line where like they're irredeemable, they can't be fixed. But with male characters, it's almost like no matter how evil they are, it almost makes it more desirable for us because we want to fix them. We want to see that redemption. And I thought that was a really interesting point.
I mean, we even see that in Buffy. We see that with Faith and Spike. Look at those two. There's still a whole demographic of people who have a disdain for Faith. And yet most people who watch Buffy love Spike.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. And I think that's going to be something to think about. And I want to dive into a little bit more once we get into season 6 and 7. Once we kind of talk a little bit more about like Spike's redemption arc and all that stuff and whether it's done well, whether it's not. And yeah. And just also fan reaction. Prophecy Girls did a really cool on trial episode. Remember we did Trial of Joss Whedon with them? Mm-hmm. Well, they did for season 6 Trial of the Buffy fandom. And they were talking about.
Good one.
Yeah. And they had people send
that or listen to that.
You should. It's really good. And they talk about a lot of it is the very rabid fan base behind Spike, which obviously Spike is a very like fun character. But there tends to be a lot of toxic behavior behind the shipping wars with Buffy and Angel, Buffy and Spike and all that stuff, and how that has impacted people's view of the show and a lot of fans' behavior and stuff. And I thought that was just really interesting. And so not that we are going to do our own on trial episode, but it might be really interesting maybe to do a bonus episode sometime where we talk about that kind of like idea of like fan behavior, but also like how like media literacy, like you can watch a show and understand what they're saying and still like a problematic character, but just be honest about those characters' flaws and stuff too. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. But anyway, okay, so moving on from Spike. So we see Dawn stealing Anya's earrings, which, guys, how random was that in this episode? And then we just – I don't think you see her steal anything else until season six. Mm-hmm. And then that storyline is just kind of – dropped. Like you have Older and Far Away where it's like revealed that she's been stealing a bunch of stuff and then she gets locked in the house and that's kind of it. We don't really move on from there. We also have and I know I keep talking about this, but it's happening so much this season. Xander like sticking up for Buffy like so much in this episode, being like, Spike, Buffy has lots of friends and we all love her, we're ready to do whatever it takes.
Like, I feel sorry for the dude.
What is this, you guys? And then in season 6 where he gets mad when Buffy sleeps with Spike and Anya sleeps with Spike, I'm like, this man is so hypocritical and he really only is supportive when it serves him. And it's very frustrating. Okay. And then we'll have Buffy describe her encounter with the guide to the potential slayers when they go down the same quest in The Killer and Me, which I abhor that episode for so many reasons. The main reason is because that's the episode where we're led to believe for episodes and episodes that Giles is dead and is back as the first evil. And so then random. The Scoobies think he is. And so they go and they like tackle him in the middle of the desert and you find out, oh, Giles actually wasn't dead. He's alive. And that storyline ends up going absolutely nowhere. And the only thing that it does is it makes Giles act cold and distant for a third of the season so that we wouldn't realize that he hadn't touched anybody. And then by the time that storyline is over, we have the awful stuff in conversation with dead people. Lies My Parents Told Me, where Giles completely disagrees with Buffy and goes behind her back. And like that storyline, nothing makes me more angry. Well, I won't say nothing. Very few things make me more angry than that storyline because they
– like, I can think of one.
Oh, my gosh. You can think of one. That's like top three for me. Like, we all talk about how Giles is in season 7 and a big part of it is due to that storyline, which had absolutely no purpose in the show. And it just makes me so mad. And then we have Tara in this episode. She says to Willow and Anya and Xander about finding out that – well, they think Buffy is boinking Spike in this episode, but it's obviously the Buffy bot. She says, "What are you kidding? She's nuts." I think that's a really out of character line for Tara, given how kind she's been to Buffy and how she responds.
Well, even in season 6. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm getting
it just played for laughs.
Frustrated.
That's only what it was. It was not canonical for Tara. It just was in there so that we'd be like, oh, funny. Even Tara thinks that's like ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. And I'm getting frustrated with the way they're writing some things because it's like they're trying to play some things off for laughs. And I'm like, none of the characters would actually say this or do this. And this feels inconsistent. And I'm getting heated, guys. We're talking about all my least favorite storylines. We have Buffy talking to Giles about how she like is thinking about quitting being a slayer, which we will have her address again in The Gift, where she tells Giles that if Dawn dies, that she's quitting, which I always forget about until we get to this. And it is a huge moment for Buffy because she's like, hey, I've sacrificed enough. Like, I've sacrificed. If Dawn dies.
Her too. That's a thing.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if she just walked away. I wonder if Buffy could just walk away. Do you guys think she could?
I think she would for like a year, a couple years. And then I feel like it would get so bad where she would feel the intrinsic need to come back.
Man, I think it'd be something similar to Anne, where the show would portray it as like a really bad thing, even though you're like, girl needs a mental health year or two.
Or maybe she's done enough. She never asked for this. She's done it. She's killed her boyfriend. Her sister died. Her mom died. Maybe she's done enough. Maybe she gets to retire. Like, hey, Faith is out there. There's another Slayer. It's not like there isn't another one. So I mean, it's not like she's the last hope. But like, Faith got to slack off. Buffy gets to too. I think that she gets to quit if she wants to.
They're like, Faith's in prison, actively not slaying, but she's doing it for good reasons, guys. Buffy gets absolutely no pass, no break. And we're like, wait, what? Obviously, Faith, yes, Faith was murdering people. She needs a break. Don't come at me. She does need to take, like, you know, some time to think about, sit in the corner and think about what she's done.
Angel Investigations come back to Sunnydale. Give her a couple years off.
There you go. Honestly, Buffy needs to go take a hiatus at the hotel and just chill for a little bit. Okay, then we have the first Death is Your Gift conversation, which I'm going to talk about that more once we get to the gift, because I think it's pretty obvious what we all know what it is. But this is something I was thinking about, and I have a question for you guys. So, and I'm really excited to talk about this when we get to season 7. The fracturing of the Scooby Gang in season 7. Do you guys think the fracturing of the Scooby Gang is something you could see actually happening, or do you feel like it's completely unnatural? Do you feel like, I mean, we don't like it, we know that, but do you feel like it's a natural progression from where the Scoobies are, even from here to season 7?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we had the exact same conversation, what, season 2, season 3? Her friends suck. No offense, guys. I like them as characters. Like, Willow is interesting. Xander is interesting. I care about them. They suck as friends. And no one can prove me wrong. Like,
no one holds them accountable to the same way
that they do Buffy. They're bad friends. Buffy, like, the way she's friends with them and the way they're friends with her, mm-hmm. it's not the same. Mm-hmm. So them being awful friends to her in season 7 does not shock me. What does shock me is the fact that even after everything that they've been through, they've done this so many times, Buffy's proved them wrong every single time, they still think they know better. That's what shocks me. Not that they do it. It's the fact that they do it after everything they've been through. And then they trust Faith over Buffy. And what's crazy is Faith is actually the logical one here. Faith is the only real friend that Buffy has in the end. Faith and Angel are the two friends that Buffy has in the end that aren't dead. So, no, it's not surprising. It's just, I'm just disappointed. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
If I ever, you know, want to get Leah talking again, all I have to do is just mention Empty Places and she just like raises from the dead and is like, you called?
Because it's just like, as much as I love this show, they literally use and abuse Buffy for plot points in a way. Yeah. It's like, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. So we're just going to...
Poor Sarah Michelle Gellar. I just know she went through it the last two seasons. I just know it.
So I agree with you, Leah. I think it's actually very organic. And I was having a conversation with someone on our Instagram. Yeah, unfortunately. I was having a conversation with someone on our Instagram and they made a really good point. They were talking about this episode and they were talking about how since Buffy became the Slayer when she was 14, she has an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, which means that she takes on too much because she thinks that that's her role. And that often means that the Scoobies don't take on enough responsibility and put everything onto her. It's this idea that, like, once we pigeonholed you into this role and we think this is what you are supposed to be, you're not allowed to deviate from that role and you're not allowed to be anything else. And therefore, now the expectations for you are higher. And so this episode, Intervention, has Buffy saying once again that Riley left because of her, like we said before, mostly because both he and the Scoobies put that on Buffy and said, you know, because since she's used to taking responsibility for everything, she takes that on too. So I think there's a very straight line from that dynamic, from this dynamic, to the disintegration of the gang in season 7. Because you notice in season 7 that Buffy is kind of pulling away from the Scooby gang. She's keeping a lot of things close to the to her chest. And she is, I mean, she still loves them, but you can just tell there's just a very, what's the word I'm looking for? There's just kind of a wall between her and her friends. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, General Buffy, we hate how cold she's become and all that stuff. And I'm like, guys, maybe she had to be that. Because she has no support system. Everyone blames her no matter what she does.
Because arguably, she's gone through way worse than she did in season 7. Actually, she has. It's not even arguably. But she was able to still maintain this like other girly pop side of Buffy in perfect harmony, even in the midst of so much trauma in season 6. Or not season 6, season 2, my bad. Or even season 3. The girl was still like girly popping at school, but going through a heartbreak with Angel, but had like her friends were there for her. Giles was there for her. Mm-hmm. Like she had a support. She had Joyce, like, you know, like, and I guess Dawn, if she was actually there during that time, but like, like she had that and she still had that part to Buffy, but like you see her have to become more of like the General Buffy later on. And why is that? Maybe ask why, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and I will defend General Buffy until the day I die because I think that is such a perfect character development for her. Of course she is that way because of everything that's happened. And you still see the beautiful, tender moments of Buffy creep in here or there. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I absolutely love Storyteller. She's still there, but she's also very much like, I'm going to get things done and I'm not going to rely on anyone to do so. And you're going to have to trust me because I've been right in the past. And apparently I'm the one that's supposed to be in charge. So let me do my job.
And a lot of the issues with that in season 7 is like, can you think of one time where Buffy's just casually hanging out alone with any of the Scooby gang?
Yeah.
Like, in the first part of like 1 through 5, we have multiple episodes, mainly in the high school years, but like even in like 4 and 5, where Buffy's just hanging out with Willow alone and they have like some good conversations.
Right.
Like we even still have a ton of those in season 4, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Like where she just goes over to the dorm and they just talk. Like there's just scenes with her and Xander. We see a couple in season 5. The last one in my memory is the robot episode. But like you don't have any scenes, at least in my memory, where they actually have good conversations other than the one where like Willow comes back.
Yeah.
But even so, then they don't really talk much. They sit there and they kind of like sit in silence and she helps heal her, which is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But like that's a needed, like expected part to their friendship.
Yeah.
Like we need the, oh, we're still friends. We choose to be around each other because we love each other. There's none of that in season 6 or 7.
Yeah, and they give it all to Spike, which frankly, if they had moved Spike over to-
She's the person she hangs out with the most in season 7. Yeah,
if they had moved Spike over to Angel, Buffy would have had those conversations with someone else. So it would have been Dawn, it would have been Xander, it would have been Willow. And I think season 7 would have benefited from
and
that.
I don't think we would have had empty places if possibly we had not those conversations, or maybe it would have hurt more. So maybe it's a good thing we didn't, because we'd be like, where the heck is this coming from?
Right. She hung out with her at the coffee shop yesterday.
But maybe we would have had better like forgiveness and great conversations after that episode. Instead, she just goes and hangs out with Spike. So maybe, yeah, maybe it would have actually happened. I don't know. It's hard to know. But we got what we got. And that's why I'm excited to talk about season 7, because I think there's really interesting relationship dynamic things that are happening that you can be like, hey, let's look at where we were at in season 1, 2, 3, 4. And then now let's look at where we're at and be like, I can see how we got here. Yeah. And I'm just excited to defend Buffy because people like to get on her for that in that season. And I'm like, it's not Buffy's fault, guys. All right, guys. Well, that is Intervention. Thanks so much for listening. You guys, let us know your thoughts. We covered kind of a lot of topics right now. I'm curious to know your guys' thoughts when it comes to season 6, Buffy's dynamic with Spike, the whole idea of abuse, and even season 7. Let us know your guys' thoughts on what we've been talking about here. You guys can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Tumblr, and YouTube at Becoming Buffy Podcast. You can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. Shout out to our producers, Christine, CJ, Paul, Kashan, Kate, and Omri. And thank you so much to the rest of our members. We appreciate you guys so much, and we will talk to you next time.